Welcome to the home of 100 to 1 Faith Radio. My name is Larry Chant, and this is our sixth coronavirus broadcast. Our church buildings have been closed due to coronavirus concerns, but we Easter people are still raising our voices. Today we share the message for April 19, 2020, from Grace United Methodist Church in the beautiful Hartwood community of Virginia. It's the second Sunday of Easter, and our scripture today is John 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors being locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven." Now, Thomas, also known as Didymus, the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. We read this scripture every year on the Sunday after Easter. Sometimes in the church calendar, this is called Thomas Sunday. What was Thomas like? Have you ever had a friend who just doesn't get it? That person who needs the punchline explained two or three times for them, and they still don't really get it. Oh, you mean it was God that sent that guy the rowboat and the helicopter? But wait. How would God send a helicopter? Do you have a friend like that? That person who just seems to be a few minutes behind everyone else? Don't look at them. Don't point. But I'll tell you something. If you're not thinking of somebody right now, then several of your friends are probably thinking of you, because there's always one. That's the kind of reputation poor old Thomas had. Doubting Thomas. Day late and a dollar short Thomas. Everyone else is all assembled. Everyone else is here. And Jesus is here, ready to start the miracle. But hold up, wait. Thomas isn't here yet. Hey, everybody. When's Thomas coming? Well, nobody's seen Thomas. Where'd he go? Nobody knows. Maybe he bought a field and needed to look at it. Maybe he bought some oxen and needed to see if they could plow. Or maybe He was still hiding under the bed. We don't know where he was. We do know how the apostles greeted him. "Hey, Thomas, where you been, man? You should have been here. You won't believe it. You're not going to believe what happened. You should have been here. Jesus showed up." "No, I don't know how." "Yeah, all the doors were locked. If we even locked the windows and pulled the shades, we were scared to death. But Jesus showed up and gave us peace. Jesus showed up and took away our fears." Well, here's the thing. Nobody else in that room believed on account of something anyone else said. Mary saw Jesus face to face and she believed, but no one believed her. And then the other women saw Jesus face to face, and they all ran to tell the disciples, and no one believed them either. Then the rest of the disciples saw Jesus face to face, and they believed because they saw him. But Thomas couldn't yet believe them because they had an experience he hadn't had. I wonder, could it be that he's called Doubting Thomas to this day because he didn't believe what the men had seen when the other disciples only failed to believe the women? I'm sorry, if you think I'm going to analyze that, you can forget it. I'm not about to see where that line of reasoning winds up. All I'm saying is, let's not be so hard on Thomas. There is no such thing as a secondhand Christian. There is no such thing as a Christian who comes to Christ because of something that happened to someone else. Everyone who is born again comes to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, not the Lord and Savior who appeared in the past to somebody else. Thomas just said, "Hey, you've had a wonderful experience with the risen Lord? Great. Bring it. Because I've only had a heartbreaking experience with my Lord. I saw him executed, and I watched as they buried him. I've never seen anyone come back from the grave, much less from being nailed to a cross. So bring it, and then I'll believe." Thomas really wasn't hurling his doubts at them. He was expressing his deepest hope and desire. "Let me have the same thing you've experienced from God." Don't we serve a wonderful Savior? You know, Christ loves to give you the desires of your heart. We're not orphan children at the bottom of God's to-do list of concerns. Our Heavenly Father is not some cosmic clockmaker who is too busy winding up the universe to listen to our prayers, our hopes, and our dreams. He hasn't turned his attention to creating more intelligent life on other planets. So what is your deepest desire today? What are you seeking when you pray? When you look at somebody else who has it all and you think, "Boy, I would like to be like them. What is it that you're hoping to find? I want you to know we serve a Savior who enters all rooms, shuttered and bolted with fear. Let me say that again. No matter how many doors we've locked to keep out Corona, no matter how many times the government orders to shelter in place, Jesus still enters our rooms and cares for each one of us. We serve a Savior who delights to answer our prayers. But be careful what you ask for. Thomas asked for a personal experience with the risen Lord, and that's exactly what he got. You know, a person could ask for many things worse than that. We get hung up on him daring to ask, but it really didn't bother Jesus, not one bit. Jesus came to answer his request. And you know something? I'd be blessed to trade my experience with Jesus for the experience Thomas had. I would love to feel what he felt that moment when he knelt at Jesus' feet. I would be so thrilled to touch his hands and his side that I would never stop talking about it. But in our culture, he's still known as the disciple who doubted. So you might be a little bit surprised to learn that in most of the Christian world, this apostle is not known as doubting Thomas at all. When he fell on his knees, his heart was already all in. Others confessed that they had seen the Lord, the Master, but only Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Only Thomas really got it. It actually took the church hundreds of years to figure out how to understand a Savior who is fully human and fully divine. For Thomas, all it took was hearing Jesus' voice, "My Lord and my God." And once Jesus left their physical sight, Thomas continued to be all in. You may know that the Jews were not great seafaring people. You've never heard of a famous Jewish explorer. The Apostle Paul was probably the best known mariner of the early church, and he kept getting shipwrecked. But Thomas took to the high seas to spread the gospel. He traveled around the Arabian Peninsula and went all the way to India. Scholars believe that Thomas may have arrived there by 45 AD and planted churches there by 50 AD. We don't talk about that much because we're all about Western Christianity. After all, India is a Hindu nation, isn't it? How many Christians could there be there? Well, let's put this in perspective. There are over 8 million people in Virginia, and more than 6 million of them claim to be Christians. But today in India, there are 23 million people who name the name of Jesus. And every one of those 23 million souls says Thomas is the one who planted their church. Let me tell you something. I fancy myself to be an evangelist. I have led people to Christ. When I preach a sermon and one person comes to Jesus, I think it's a pretty good day. If I ever manage to preach so well that 23 million people come to Christ, I'm going to drop the mic and strut all the way to glory. And I won't care what kind of names people call me. They can call me Doubting Larry. They can call me Puddinhead. I don't care. I'm just going to smile and say, 23 million. Oh, and about those 23 million souls, they don't even know who Doubting Thomas is. They know him as St. Thomas, the evangelist. So much so that in the Eastern Church, and that includes pretty much all the Christians who live east of Italy, Easter isn't a one-day celebration. Easter is 8 days long. It begins with the empty tomb, and it continues to Thomas Sunday. You see, Easter isn't really Easter until Thomas comes home. And Jesus isn't fully risen until someone confesses, "My Lord and my God." The faith of Thomas took him all the way to India, but some say he didn't stop there. When the conquistadors first came talking about religion and thirsting for gold, they come to a land that we now call Paraguay. Life and power for love. Did Thomas himself go all the way to the New World? Or perhaps one of his disciples came from the Order of St. Thomas? I suppose we'll never know. But how would you explain people in the Amazon River Basin who already knew about Jesus? Maybe we don't have to know the answer. Maybe all we have to do is stay in our rooms, shuttered and locked for fear of the virus and fear of the authorities who tell us to shelter in place. Maybe all we have to do is pray for Christ to come and speak to us. Then we can fall on our knees and we can say with Thomas, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God."